Amen. I don't know about you, but I like living the way we're living. Hallelujah. Amen. That is the Christian life. And it's a good way to live our life. Praise God. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you. You may be seated. We have some good things coming up. Wednesday night or Tuesday. And of course, Wednesday night's a midweek Bible study. Tuesday night's prayer. And immediately after prayer, we're going to have our first Preacher's Academy. Amen. And then a week from Tuesday night and alternate Tuesday nights, one Tuesday night we have the Preacher's Academy. The other, next Tuesday night we have a young marriage, our family class, building strong families. And so that's something I think that's going to be very beneficial. You know, it's challenging being married or being single. It's challenging trying to raise a family. It's challenging trying to raise children in this day and age. It's always been challenging, but I think today it's much, much more difficult than it's ever been before. Amen. Praise God. Everybody's trying to tell you how to do it. Well, I'm going to tell you how to do it. The difference is I'm going to tell you right. Praise God, because our guidebook's going to be the Word of the Lord. Right. Amen. And He's the one that had the original pattern. Isn't that right? Amen. If all else fails, you know, go back and ask for, read the instructions. And that's what we're going to do. We're just going to be simply taking the Scriptures and asking the Lord to help us. And so I think that's a good thing, and I'm excited about doing that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So a lot of good things we're going to be doing here. So let's stand right now and go to the Word of the Lord, shall we? Praise God. Thank you for being here this morning. I'm going to be reading from the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, the 30th verse. Praise God. Anybody like the book of Acts here today? Amen. We like the whole book. Praise God. All of it is good. But the importance of the book of Acts is this is where the church is born. So if you want to know anything about the church, you go to the book of Acts. You want to know about the life of Jesus Christ, you go to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's his history. You want to know about Christian living, go to the epistles. The epistles, you're not going to find the plan of salvation succinctly because those were written to people that are already saved. You don't need to talk about the plan of salvation to people that are already saved, right? So those are practical instructions on how to live the Christian life. Amen. So the book of the New Testament is divided into those categories. The Gospels are the life of Jesus Christ. That's history. The book of Acts is the history book of the church. It talks about its inception. It obviously talks about how to be saved because that's what the church is. And then the epistles about how to live the Christian life. The book of Revelation tells us that He's coming. Amen. Amen. He's returning again. Praise God. So go into the book of Acts, the book of the history of the church of Jesus Christ. Verse number 30 said, just a short verse, but it said, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That is the single most important question that a human being can ask. What must I do to be saved? And we want to try to answer that question today. God bless you, and you may be seated. There's a lot of questions that we ask. All of us at some point in time, you thought, well, where did I come from? And there's all kinds of answers to that question. And then we have the question, why am I here? Big question. And so we ask those questions. But the most important question that a human being will ever ask is, what must I do to be saved? Let's look at the background of this question. Two preachers had been called of the Lord to a place called Philippi. they were missionaries. They had gone down to the river. They heard there was a prayer meeting going on. So they went down to the river and had a prayer meeting. And in that prayer meeting, people began to ask questions and they began to give some answers. And people liked the answers and people were baptized. And then they were invited to come home with them. And so here they are there and home, and then they get out in the streets and they're walking down the street. And this girl comes up behind these two preachers and she's repeating over and over and over again. She's saying, "These men are the men of God. Hear you them." Now, what's wrong with that? That was free advertising. And day after day, wherever they walked, this girl would walk behind them. "These are men of God. Hear ye them." And that was good advertising, except the woman's life apparently didn't bear witness with that. You know, there are some people you don't really want their approval. Amen. And because to be associated with certain people, certain individuals, indicates that you're not what they say you are. Amen. And so that was the case with this girl. People knew that she had a spirit, a demon, if you will. And Paul just got tired of that. Now, he put up with it for a long time. He put up with it, the Bible said, for many days. But after a while, he just turned around and he didn't speak to the woman. He spoke to the spirit. And he said, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And boy, I mean, that spirit took off. He got out. Now, you would have thought that was a good thing, right? But it messed up somebody's financial arrangement, because there were some cruel men that had been taking advantage of that young woman and had been using her demonic gift for their own gain. And so they lost their bread and butter over that situation. And so they brought Paul and Silas before a court. And they come to the court and they said, "These men are Jews. What's wrong with that? That's not a crime." And when they said, "And they're teaching things that for us Romans we can't do. What's wrong with that? That's not a crime." But they said it in such a way that they got everybody riled up and everybody was mad and throwing dust in the air and stomping and carrying on. And the magistrates got all upset. And so they took Paul and Silas and they beat them. They ripped their clothes off and they took whips and they lashed them across the back until they were bruised and bleeding. And then they turned around to the man that was the jailer and they said, "You take these men and you put them in your prison. I don't mean you just put them in prison. You put them in the inner prison. These are vicious, vicious men. These are awful criminals." And so the jailer took them, and the Bible says he put them in the inner prison. Now, there's an interesting footnote to this story. I'm going to tell it now because I don't want to mess up my ending a little bit later. Do you know that whenever they got ready to let Paul and Silas out of prison, they sent a guy to him, and he just come and he said, "The judges have said it's all right to let y'all go." And Paul said, "Wait a minute." He said, "We are Roman citizens, and you have beaten us without a fair trial. And that is against the laws of Rome." You see, they thought they were just beating up on some poor little helpless Jews. But Paul said, "Oh, no, no, no. I'm a Roman citizen. This man's a Roman citizen. And you have wrongly accused us, and you have put us in your prison, and you have beaten us." And what he was saying to them is, "You're in a world of trouble, bud. I can have your job, and you can take my place in the prison here because of what you've done to me." And so he told them, he said, "Now, if these magistrates and judges, if they won't let us go, you let them come down here and tell us and let us out." He didn't let them off the hook, did he? He stuck it in and twisted. He wanted them to know what they had done wrong. He wanted them to understand there's a time that you kind of need to do that a little bit. And so I tell you, it changed the whole complexion situation. I mean, those judges all of a sudden, they couldn't wait to get down there and apologize and fell all over themselves. We didn't know that you were Roman citizens. You know what? It pays to treat everybody right. Did you hear what I said? It pays just to treat everybody right. And then you don't have to worry about it. Amen. Praise God. But we live in a world that treats one person this way and another person this way. And they find out what your name is or how much money you have or what influence you have. Then they treat you differently. Amen. Praise God. You know, even how quickly you talk to somebody on the telephone, it matters. The little computer that they have now, it can tell them kind of what category you're in. And if you've got a lot of money, a lot of influence, they're going to get on the phone right quick and you're going to talk to a real human being. And if you're not a real human being and have somebody in influence, you're going to get a message that says, all of our representatives are busy serving other customers right now, but if you'll please stay on the line, we'll answer you in the order in which you call. Anybody ever heard that message? That tells you what category you're in. That tells you how much you matter in this world. Amen. Praise God. But I think we ought to treat everybody right. Amen. Anyway, so Paul and Silas are thrown in prison. I mean, it was a bad situation. Not just in prison. They put them in the inner prison. Now, the only stocks that Paul and Silas knew about were the kind that were holding their feet in place. The only kind of bonds they knew about were the kind that they put on your hands when you were a prisoner. But the Bible says they were in the inner prison. Now, this is so beautiful. If we can really see this, sometimes, you know, we just say it often enough that we kind of lose the wonder of it. But these men are beaten, and they're bleeding, and they're hurting. But the Bible says at midnight, the darkest hour, the Bible says they started praying. Amen. Have you ever prayed when you didn't want to pray? That's when you do the most good. They started praying when they didn't. Oh, you talk about not feeling like praying. Don't you know that they were battling on the inside? They were struggling. Here we are, Lord. We come to this town. We're just missionaries. You know, we're just trying to do good. We're just trying to share the gospel. And look what's happened to us. And the devil's on their shoulder cheering them on. That's right. Look how you've been treated. You should not be treated like this. Amen. The devil loves pity parties. He never misses one. He'll take your arm and nearly break it off, patting you on the back about how bad you've got it. But on the other hand, Jesus never attends pity parties. Ever. He doesn't go to them. Amen. So you just decide which kind of party you want to go to. Amen. So they, in spite of all of that, they started praying. And it probably was tough getting started. Sometimes prayer meeting is hard to get started, brother. Love lady, for me, I don't know about you. Sometimes when I have a prayer meeting, it's not easy to get started. Amen. I'm not feeling anything. I just start praying because I know I'm supposed to pray. And there's no, heaven's not kissing the earth. Angels are not singing. It's just me and the walls and the ceiling. Amen. And you start praying, Lord, I thank you because you're God. I thank you because you're good to me. I thank you because you're mindful, because you listen to us when we call on your name, and you just start praying. And you know what? If you pray long enough, something starts happening. After they've been praying a little while, the Bible said they started singing. Woo, hallelujah. That's just as natural as it can be. I don't know how you're put together, but the way I'm put together, after I pray a little bit, I want to sing a little bit. There's just something that rises up on the inside, and I want to sing some praises to the Lord. And the Bible says, and the prisoners heard them. Now, I want you to know that was unusual. Now, I don't know. They were not singing Jailhouse Rock. Although it did rock in time. Amen. But I don't know. They were not singing Crying in Your Beer songs. Praise God. They were singing praises to the Lord. Now, these prisoners had heard a lot of stuff. They'd heard cussing. They'd heard ranting. They'd heard bitterness. They'd heard every kind of vile thing you can imagine. But they never heard apostolic preachers praying. they never heard that kind of singing. Praise God. And the old preacher said it better than anybody I've ever heard. He said, God looked down and he turned to the angels and he said, you hear that? And they said, what, God? He said, those preachers down there singing, isn't that beautiful? He said, and all of a sudden, God leaned back on his throne and he started patting his foot. And heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. And so he's patting his foot. And you know what happened? He must have been patting just about where Philippi was, because the Bible said there was an earthquake, and all of a sudden the doors flew open and the stocks that were on their feet fell off. That's the first time I've ever heard of a creative earthquake. Most of the time earthquakes cause destruction, but this was an earthquake that was creative. It opened doors that men had closed, and it shook off shackles that men had placed on them. You need a creative earthquake in your life. If you come into this place bound today, you can leave here free. If you came here shackled by habits and sins, you can leave here in liberty today. Hallelujah. That was an earthquake that took place in that situation. As a matter of fact, the old jailer was in there laying in his bed, and it shook him out of his bed. And he ran to the door and he looked out and he saw all of these doors standing open. And he assumed that everybody had left. Hey, amen. You talk about a miracle, not anybody left. Had the privilege some years ago to preach a revival in the jail. We had, I don't remember, 7 or 8 people receive the Holy Ghost in our jail revival. Amen. We got to baptize them. They brought them to church, you know, in shackles. I mean, they're all chained, but you know, they let us take them off before we got baptized them. Amen. And right after that happened, guess what? They had a jailbreak. And one of the inmates said, I want you to tell the pastor that not one of us that attended that revival tried to get away. There's a difference when you're introduced to Jesus Christ. There's a difference when you hear about Him. There's a difference when you give your life to the Lord. Amen. And so, boy, there was an earthquake, and the guy reached over and grabbed a sword. You see, he realized that I'm responsible for all these people, and they're going to either throw me in jail or they're going to kill me. So I'm just going to end it right now. He grabbed his sword. He put it to his body. He was getting ready to run himself through, and all of a sudden, he heard the voice of that old preacher that had been singing that caused all of this ruckus, and he lifted up his voice, and he said, do yourself no harm. We're all here. You know what? Whenever you get the Holy Ghost, it makes you love everybody. Amen. You don't want to do anybody any harm. Do you hear what I said? You don't want to do anybody any harm. Amen. If you got hatred in your heart today, you need to pray through. If you got something against somebody and you're nursing some old grudge, quit nursing it and let it die a natural death. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Whenever you are full of the love of God, the very person that put you in prison, the very person that maybe have mistreated you, you love them. You don't want them to have any harm. Amen. Praise God. Is that all right? Is this okay? It's a truth anyhow. Amen. If we like it, it's the truth. If it hurts, it's the truth. It's the same anyway. He said, don't do any harm. Don't harm yourself. Amen. And I'm telling you, that did something to that old jailer. And the next thing he knew, he was on his knees before those two preachers. And he looked up at them and he asked the most important question that a human being can ever ask. He said, what must to be saved? Now, to ask that question sincerely, there are some things that you have to reckon with. First of all, you've got to understand, if you want to be saved, that means you understand that you're lost. There's just two kinds of people. It's not respectable and not respectable. It's not the rich and the poor. It's not the beautiful and the ugly. Amen. It's not the haves and the have-nots. We put people in all kinds of categories. As far as God's concerned, there's just two categories. Saved and lost. As far as God's concerned, there's just two ways. Highway, broad way, narrow way. There's just two gates. Broad gate, straight gate. Saved, lost. Hear me, folks. That's what it boils down to. That's what it boils down to. Saved or lost? In order to ask that question sincerely, a person's got to come to the place to realize I'm lost. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I'm in a situation I don't know how to get out of. I'm not happy being where I am. I want to change my life, but I don't know how to change it for the better. I need to be saved. I need somebody to tell me what to do. Amen. He recognized I'm lost. And then secondly, he recognized there's got to be a better way. Amen. Anybody found a better way? Anybody believe there is a better way? Amen. Now listen to me today. You know, people sometimes look at Christians and they think that we don't know what's going on in the world. We do know what's going on. They think that we're just like some ostriches with our head in the sand somewhere. No, we're not. If you will think just a moment, every Christian, there was a time when we were not a Christian. There was a time when I was lost. There was a time I was on the other side. There was a time I was where you are. Been there. Done that. Didn't like it. I've been down that road. I know what that road is like. You have to understand that today. I am where I am because I want to be. I'm where I am. I live the way I live because I have found a better way. I don't want to live that way anymore. I don't want to live bound. I don't want to live shackled. I don't want to live every day with regrets. I don't want to live every day with guilt. I don't want to live with shame. I don't want to live in that condition. Been there, done that, didn't like it. But I found a better way. And that's why I am where I am today. Praise God. And you can find it too. Amen. Praise God. If you're unhappy today, there's no reason for you to be unhappy. If you're miserable, there's no reason for you to be miserable. If you're full of chaos and confusion, there's no reason for you to live that. There's a better way. He realized all of a sudden, hey, I'm lost. But there's a way out of this. I heard some preachers praying, and I heard some preachers singing, and they've got something that I don't have and something that I want. You seem to have a peace that I'm lacking. You seem to have a joy that I would love to have. Tell me, what must I do? Amen. So it let him know not only he recognized he was lost, but he recognized that somebody had something that he didn't have. To ask that question sincerely, it means that you're willing to make a change. You can't go somewhere else until you leave where you are. You can't stay in your present condition and move on to a better condition. Isn't that right? There's got to be some change somewhere. And you're going to be willing to change. Everybody shake your head like this right here. That's what repentance is. Repentance means that you made a change in your life. And so it means an about face, simply. Actually, I read somewhere, I don't know, I haven't been there, but they tell me that sometimes in the British Army, whenever they're marching, they'll be marching along, and all of a sudden the sergeant says, left, right, left, right. And then he says, repent, and everybody turns around. Now, if he said that in the Pentecostal church, we'd all hit our knees. But in the British Army, when he says, repent, everybody turns around. Because that's literally what repentance is. Repentance means I've been going the wrong way. I've been going my way. I've been going the way of selfishness. And it's getting me nowhere. And all of a sudden I realize this is not good. And I hear a voice saying, repent. And I turn around. And I said, I'm going to go your way now. Praise God. I'm going to walk in the way of righteousness. I'm going to walk in the way of the Lord. I'm going to go in the way of peace. I'm going to go in the way of joy. You make up your mind. You change direction. So he's willing. He said, I'm willing to do it. And then he says, what must I? Everybody say, I. What must I do? Not what is God going to do. He's already done it. There was a voice that cried out from an old rugged cross that said, it is finished. What he was saying was, I've done everything that I can possibly do. I've paid the price. I shed the blood. I gave my life. There's nothing more that I can do to save humanity. Now it's up to you. So God has already done his part. The church, well, what's the church going to do to help me? It's doing it right now. It's telling you how to get out of your condition. It's praying for you. It's loving you. It's offering you its support. It's offering you its help. It's telling you there's a better way. Amen. But there's something that you got to do. The man said, what must I do? Amen. Salvation is an individual responsibility. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, he said, save yourselves from this crooked generation. How do you save yourself? Well, if you're in the sea and you're drowning and somebody that's in a boat tosses you a lifeline, you grab hold of that buddy and you hang on for dear life. Amen. That's how you save yourself. You don't expect somebody out there to come out there and put it around you. Amen. Whether you want to be saved or not. It's an individual responsibility. Yes, sir. Amen. Praise God. And so it's you have to do something yourself. Yes, sir. And what you do, it's pretty simple really. Amen. First of all, he said you got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we must believe that God is and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. First of all, you've got to believe there's a God. And then you've got to believe that He'll reward you if you seek Him diligently. Isn't that right? Yes, praise God. And that's important today. That's where it starts. It doesn't stop there, but that's where the journey begins. Got to believe. Amen. Paul didn't stop there. The Bible says that he went home with the jailer, and the jailer, he preached the word of the Lord to them. Amen. And if I know Paul, I kind of know what he preached. Amen. Praise God. It was like at the day of Pentecost, whenever Peter got through preaching. And he said, this same Lord, this same Jesus is both Lord and Christ. And people realized, we have crucified the Lord of glory. And they looked at one another and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter had a ready answer. Standing with the 11, the other apostles, he lifted up his voice and he said, repent. And be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and unto your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the Philippian jailer was baptized with everybody in his household. Now I've heard people say, well, you know, baptism, is it really necessary? Well, it must be pretty important. Because here's these guys with beat up and bleeding backs and everything else. And they went out sometime after midnight and baptized a bunch of people. They could have said, well, why don't you just wait, brother, till I'm feeling a little better? You know, baptism really doesn't matter, so let's just kind of put it off a few days till these wounds heal a little bit. Huh? No, sir. They must have thought it was pretty important to be baptized. The scripture, whenever Peter preached to Cornelius' household, and while he was yet speaking the word, the Bible says, the Holy Ghost fell upon all of them which believed. And they started speaking in tongues. And that's how the Jews knew that they got the Holy Ghost. Because they said, we know that the Lord filled these Gentiles with the Holy Ghost just like He did us Jews. For we heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And the Bible says, and He commanded them, did not suggest, commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Folks, this is important. I'm just simply saying how to be saved. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody said, do I have to get the Holy Ghost? Wrong question. It ought to mean, you mean I can have the Holy Ghost? You mean I actually get to have Jesus Christ living inside of me? You mean I actually get to become the temple of the Holy Ghost? You mean I actually literally get to become the body of Christ? You mean the Holy Spirit of God actually moves inside my physical being and God becomes one with me? What's wrong with that? Hey, amen. That the people ought to be beating the doors down to get in here. Hey, amen. And if we could really get them to understand it. But you know, folks, it's got to be an individual decision and responsibility. I can't ask that question for you. You've got to ask it for yourself. What must I do to be saved? And then you got to be willing to do it. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Praise God. Then you've got to be willing to do it. Amen. It's not hard. It's very easy. Amen. God didn't ask you to do anything that you cannot do. All He asked us to do, He said, first of all, you need to believe. It shouldn't be hard for anybody to believe God. When you woke up this morning, you woke up and breathed some sweet air into your lungs that God provided. If you slept as late as most people did Sunday morning, you walked out into His sunshine. You walked on His green earth. Amen. Praise God. You might have heard some of His birds singing. Amen. You passed some of His trees on your way to church. Praise God. He made all that. It shouldn't be hard to believe. Everything we know has a creator. Everything we know has a maker. Amen. If you're wearing a watch today and I told you that that watch just all of a sudden just happened to be, one day I just knocked off a box of stuff, you know, screws and stuff off, and it fell in the washing machine and it started spinning around, and lo and behold, whenever it stopped, there was a watch in there. You'd look at me like, you nut. And yet people can look at a marvelous creation that has such a delicate balance and deny that there's a creator. And you think I'm foolish? Amen. It's important that we believe. Secondly, he said, you got to repent. Now, that's not hard to do. All got to do is just turn around. Say, no more of this. Amen. Tried that. Didn't work. Don't like it. Don't go the other way. Praise the Lord. Just turn around. Anybody ever had to turn around? You know why you had to turn around? Because you were going the wrong way. You know what? There have been times I turned around. I didn't like turning around. There's nothing I hate worse. Maybe. Well, that's probably not a good statement. But I really hate whenever I pass up my road. Have you ever been on the turnpike, the Will Rogers Turnpike in Oklahoma, and pass up your exit? Buddy, get ready for a long drive. Because there ain't no turning around places for mile after mile after mile. Amen. And about 20, 30 miles later, you'll come to a place to turn around. And then you're thinking, I've got to go all the way back because I missed my turn. Amen. But it's not that hard on the road of life. You can turn around right now. You can turn around right now. He said you got to repent. Praise God. Repentance is recognizing that I've done wrong. Repentance is asking God to forgive me for my sins and wrong living. Wrong attitudes, wrong spirit. Just being wrong altogether. God, please forgive me today. And then I want you to come into my life. I know that I can't be good by myself because I've tried and I've failed so miserably. I've tried to find peace and I can't find it. I've tried to be a good person and I can some days, and then some days I fail miserably. I'm doing everything I know how to do and it's not working. But would you come unto me, Spirit of righteousness? Amen. Would you come unto me, Holy God, and make a difference in my life today? I know I can't do it without you. Please come in. Amen. And you just open and you begin to praise him. You give the invitation. I promise you one thing. He'll come because he said he would. Amen. He'll come, and when he comes in, he brings sweet peace, unspeakable joy, a spirit of righteousness, the power to become what you cannot be by yourself. Amen. Praise God. Why don't you ask him today? Somebody here, somebody need to ask the most important question you'll ever ask in your life. Amen. Somebody needs to avail themselves of the answer right now. Praise God. You have the question. You have the answer. I hope you'll respond favorably here today. Let me open this altar for prayer right now. Somebody here, you need to make some changes in your life, and you know it. You're unhappy, and you know it. There's some things that are missing, some big pieces that are missing in your life, and you know it. You know it. Praise God. You know it today. You know what's missing. Why don't you do something about it this morning? Why put it off another moment? Why wait for another opportunity that may never come? Why don't you just make the right decision and make it now? Praise God. Make the right decision and make it now. Amen. Here's an invitation. Please come. Amen. Please come. Amen. Respond to the Spirit of the Lord. He's moving in this place. He's talking to individuals tonight, and you know it. He's speaking to hearts right now, and you hear his voice. Praise God. Why don't you just give him an opportunity? You have tried your way. It has not worked out very well. Why don't you give him an opportunity today to give you a peace that passes understanding, an unspeakable joy and glory that you'll never find in another source. Praise the name of Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. You're right here today, Jesus Christ. I thank you. I thank you because your sweet presence is in this place. I thank you because your sweet presence is in this place. Would you lift up your hands right now? Lift up your faith. Lift up your heart right where you are. Amen. Praise God. Why don't you just start talking to the Lord? Maybe you don't want to come to this altar. Amen. It may not seem the place for you. But why don't you respond right now, even where you are, to the sweet Spirit of the Lord? Would you just do that? Amen. You've heard the word of the Lord today. Don't just let it go by without a response to it. Amen. At least take a moment to tell the Lord, thank you for your sweet word. Thank you, God, for your sweet holy presence. I'm glad I can feel it here today in this place. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I see a crimson stream of blood. Hallelujah. And it flows from Calvary. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Its waves are dressed around the throne of God. They are sweeping over me. Amen. I've always loved this verse. When gloom and sadness whisper, you sin, no use to pray. Been there. I look away to Jesus, and He tells me to say, here's what He said. Hallelujah. I see a crimson stream of blood, and it flows from Calvary. Yes, it does. And its waves, they reach the very throne of God. Yes, they do. And they're sweeping oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Could we bless Him right now? Let's give Him thanks today. God, the most important question in life has a definite answer. And I'm glad that I've answered that today. I'm glad that I've given you an opportunity to be in my life. I pray that you guard everybody here today, and let this word be in somebody's heart. Let it speak to them from this day forward. Amen.